you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, tonight we're in Nehemiah chapter 9, talking about some of the things that are essential to real godly worship. Jesus said in the New Testament that the Lord is looking, the Father is looking for those who will worship in spirit and in truth. Well, if God's having to look for it, it must not be everywhere around us. So let's be sure that you and I worship God in a way that's acceptable to Him. Nehemiah chapter 9 gives us a part of that picture. Let's look at it together. We are in Nehemiah chapter 9 and chapter 10 this morning. Our focus is going to be in chapter 9, and we'll give just kind of a little preview of chapter 10, which, God willing, we'll look at next time. Nehemiah chapter 9. You'll remember that this comes right on the heels of chapter 8. And that once upon a time, there were no chapter divisions. Those were added much later by Bishop Usher. So the best way to read the book of Nehemiah is the same as the other books of the Bible. You just read it straight through. And that doesn't mean you have to do that or you can't go to heaven. It just means if you really want to understand the books of the Bible, understand that they were not originally divided into chapters and verses. Those chapters and verses are to make it easier to study them so that you can find a particular thing you're looking for or draw someone's attention to a particular thing instead of saying, look in about the middle of the scroll. Okay? It's easier to go to chapter and verse. Nehemiah chapter 9, this is God's word. On the 24th day of the same month, the Israelites gathered together, fasting and wearing sackcloth and having dust on their heads. Those of Israelite descent had separated themselves from all foreigners. They stood in their places and confessed their sins and the wickedness of their fathers. They stood where they were and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day and spent another quarter in confession and in worshiping the Lord their God. Standing on the stairs were the Levites, Yeshua, Bani, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Buni, Sherebiah, Bani, must be another Bani, and Kanani, who called with loud voices to the Lord their God. And the Levites, Yeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabniah, Sherebiah, Hodiah, Shebaniah, and Pethaliah said, "Stand up and praise the Lord your God, who is from everlasting to everlasting. Blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. You are the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and named him Abraham. You found his heart faithful to you, and you made a covenant with him to give to his descendants the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Jebusites, and Girgashites. You have kept your promise because you are righteous. You saw the suffering of our forefathers in Egypt. You heard their cry at the Red Sea. You sent miraculous signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his officials, and all the people of his land, for you knew how arrogantly the Egyptians treated them. You made a name for yourself, which remains to this day. You divided the sea before them, so that they passed through it on dry ground. But you hurled their pursuers into the depths like a stone into mighty waters. By day you led them with a pillar of cloud, and by night with a pillar of fire to give them light on the way they were to take. You came down on Mount Sinai. You spoke to them from heaven. You gave them regulations and laws that are just and right, and decrees and commands that are good. You made known to them your holy Sabbath and gave them commands, decrees, and laws through your servant Moses. In their hunger, you gave them bread from heaven, and in their thirst, you brought them water from the rock. You told them to go in and take possession of the land you had sworn with uplifted hand to give to them. But they, our forefathers, became arrogant and stiff-necked and did not obey your commands. They refused to listen and failed to remember the miracles you performed among them. They became stiff-necked and in their rebellion appointed a leader in order to return to their slavery. But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Therefore, you did not desert them, even when they cast for themselves an image of a calf and said, "This is your God who brought you up out of Egypt," or when they committed awful blasphemies. Because of your great compassion, you did not abandon them in the desert. By day, the pillar of cloud did not cease to guide them on their path, nor the pillar of fire by night to shine on the way they were to take. You gave your good spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths, and you gave them water for their thirst. For 40 years you sustained them in the desert. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet become swollen. You gave them kingdoms and nations, allotting to them even the remotest frontiers. They took over the country of Sihon, king of Heshbon, and the country of Og, king of Bashan. You made their sons as numerous as the stars in the sky, and you brought them into the land that you told their fathers to enter and possess. Their sons went in and took possession of the land. You subdued before them the Canaanites who lived in the land. You handed the Canaanites over to them along with their kings and the peoples of the land to deal with them as they pleased. They captured fortified cities and fertile land. They took possession of houses filled with all kinds of good things, wells already dug, vineyards, olive groves, and fruit trees in abundance. They ate to the full and were well nourished. They reveled in your great goodness. But they were disobedient and rebelled against you. They put your law behind their backs. They killed your prophets who had admonished them in order to turn them back to you. They committed awful blasphemies. So you handed them over to their enemies who oppressed them. But when they were oppressed, they cried out to you. From heaven you heard them, and in your great compassion, you gave them deliverers who rescued them from the hand of their enemies. But as soon as they were at rest, they again did what was evil in your sight. Then you abandoned them to the hand of their enemies so that they ruled over them. And when they cried out to you again, you heard from heaven. And in your compassion, you delivered them time after time. You warned them to return to your law, but they became arrogant and disobeyed your commands. They sinned against your ordinances by which a man will live if he obeys them. Stubbornly, they turned their backs on you, became stiff-necked, and refused to listen. For many years you were patient with them. By your spirit you admonished them through your prophets, yet they paid no attention. So you handed them over to the neighboring peoples. But in your great mercy you did not put an end to them or abandon them, for you are a gracious and merciful God. Now therefore, O our God, the great, mighty, and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love, do not let all this hardship seem trifling in your eyes, the hardship that has come upon us, upon our kings and leaders, upon our priests and prophets, upon our fathers, and all your people from the days of the kings of Assyria until today. In all that has happened to us, you have been just. You have acted faithfully while we did wrong. Our kings, our leaders, our priests, and our fathers did not follow your law. They did not pay attention to your commands or to the warnings you gave them, even while they were in their kingdom enjoying your great goodness to them in the spacious and fertile land you gave them. They did not serve you or turn from their evil ways. But see, we are slaves today. Slaves in the land you gave our forefathers so they could eat its fruit and the other good things it produces. Because of our sins, its abundant harvest goes to the kings you have placed over us. They rule over our bodies and our cattle as they please. We are in great distress. In view of all this, we are making a binding agreement, putting it in writing, and our leaders, our Levites, and our priests are affixing their seals to it. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I wonder if you'd take a moment to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things. First of all, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Well, that's kind of an interesting church service. I mean, they gathered together. They spent a quarter of the day listening again to the reading of the scriptures. And then they spent a quarter of the day, it's half a day if you put them together. They spent a quarter of a day confessing their sins and worshiping the Lord. Half a day, not just at church, but doing church. Wow. Suffice it to say that Americans seem to have a much shorter attention span than many people in the world. And believers in this country seem to have a lot less endurance for sitting in a climate-controlled environment than most of our brothers and sisters around the world are willing to stand in a non-climate-controlled environment. We are such spoiled babies. It's really sad. But I don't want to just guilt trip you. I want to try and instruct you. Looking together at what happened in this text, first, remember what happened in the previous chapter. Their worship was grounded in an understanding of God's word. If you look at chapter 8, verses 3 through 8. Chapter 8, verses 3 through 8. They've gathered, men and women and children, as many as were able to understand. They gathered, and Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, and he read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Ezra opened the book, verse 5, all the people could see him because he was standing above them, and as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, verse 7, instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Let me say it again. Their worship was grounded in an understanding of God's word. There are a lot of people who neglect the study of the scriptures and still want to worship God. And they may be into bells and smells, or they may be into rock music. Okay? I mean, it may be one of those very high and holy moments where people walk the aisles with censers and we are all amazed because we didn't grow up that way. It's like, wow. Wow, I just never experienced anything. I want more of that. That was so special. Or it may be a situation where you get your aerobic workout by going to the church and doing this, okay? But you're not being instructed in the Word. Now, I'm not saying you can't instruct people in the Word and use incense and Gregorian chants. I'm not saying you can't jump up and down during the music and still have excellent, solid instruction from God's Word. What I'm saying is, if our worship is not grounded in an understanding of the Word, then it's like a diet of frosting. Okay? What are you going to have? Well, I'm thinking maybe coconut cream this time. Well, no, I mean like for like protein, vitamins, minerals, that kind of thing. Nope, just sugar. I just love sugar. And if you do that spiritually, you will be like a person who just lives on sugar. Big high, big low, soon sick. Okay? Happens. So their worship was grounded in an understanding of God's Word. Secondly, however, that isn't a purely academic exercise that leaves us simply more knowledgeable. My goodness, yes, I never understood that before, but now I do. And I'm so glad that I do. I'm going to go home and draw a chart. Okay? No, their worship was also joyful. We saw this last time, chapter 8, verses 9 through 12. Look at it. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest, and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them, "This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had started weeping as they listened to the word of the Lord. Got that? In other words, when they understood the word, they realized they were really bad sinners and they needed help. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a sacred day. Do not grieve." Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. Their worship was joyful. It was grounded in an understanding of God's word, and it was joyful. And I would submit to you, if your worship doesn't have those two key elements, your worship is not biblical, it's not healthy, it's not what God intends. God is looking for those who worship him in spirit and in truth, Jesus said. And our worship should be joyful, but it should be joy that is grounded in an understanding of God's word. Now, in chapter 9, that's the backdrop. In chapter 9, we see that their worship not only included feasting, which they did for days in chapter 8, but their worship included fasting. I like that be happy and eat part. You know, we do that every Sunday here. We are joyful and then we have a meal together, and I really like that. That's one of the reasons I come to this church. I like that a lot. Well, good. But they didn't just feast, they also fasted. They also fasted. And in addition to fasting, they were wearing sackcloth and having dust on their heads. I don't think that's comfortable, and I don't think that would be a good witness. If people see us with sackcloth and dust on our heads, I mean, they're going to think we're nut jobs, frankly. I would submit to you that we tend to be yanked either to this extreme or to this extreme. What we see in Scripture is people who learned how to experience the full spectrum of the truth and what God is calling us to. And if you are always mourning because of your sin, overwhelmed with the wickedness that is all around us, you're probably not going to be a very effective evangelist. Okay? If, on the other hand, no matter what happens, your wife died? Oh, that's wonderful. Okay? See, God's in that. You've got a problem too. You understand? We're supposed to weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. Some of us think we only have one job description. No, we need to be fasting, mourning, crying out to God for mercy, and then rejoicing in his faithfulness, amazed by his goodness. These folks had the whole package. That's what we see illustrated here. So, their worship included fasting and confession of sin and repentance. And again, the confession and worship go together. Look at verses 2 through 5 of chapter 9. Those of Israelite descent had separated themselves from all foreigners. That was repentance. They stood in their places and confessed their sins and the wickedness of their fathers. And they stood where they were and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day and spent another quarter in confession and in worshiping the Lord their God. And the Levites called with loud voices to the Lord their God. And they said, stand up and praise the Lord your God who is from everlasting to everlasting. Some of us think those things don't go together. Those things go perfectly together, and this chapter illustrates the weaving of confession of sin and praise to God woven together. Because when we confess our sins, it causes us to be amazed by the grace of God that we are still here. That's what they said. They said, you know, it's only because of God that we haven't been wiped out completely. It's only because of his compassion and his grace and his mercy, because we really don't have any other explanation for our existence. But they not only praised God for his compassion and his mercy and his grace, they were very explicit about confessing to God their own sinfulness and the fact that they did not deserve these things from God. We could learn from this. We should learn from this. We must learn from this. We need to confess our sins before God and rejoice in his faithfulness. But there are some other instructions here. Again, notice, please, that the reading of Scripture was foundational. Verse 3, they spent a quarter of the day. That's a long time. They spent a quarter of the day reading from the book of the law and then another quarter of the day in confession and worshiping the Lord. Some people are, I know, a bit surprised that when I preach, I typically read a long passage from the Scriptures. Well, that's because if you don't get anything else good from what I have to say, you at least ought to get something good from that. All right? God's Word is true. It's alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. You know, well, I didn't much like the sermon, but the text was good. Okay? Well, fine. But I would submit to you, we need to be grounded in the Word and understanding that everything that we say and everything we do is supposed to flow from our understanding of what God says. We do what we do because this is what God says. That's the reason to do it. That's the reason to do it.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have for tonight, but you know the drill. We come back the next night and bring the conclusion. So you be sure and tune in tomorrow night in Nehemiah chapter 9. We're going to bring this message to conclusion tomorrow night. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-888-8888. 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.